I pray the Lord would reveal this today. I pray the Lord would truly reveal this today. For our Bible study, just a moment ago, we saw where the Apostle Paul said that we should put off the old man and his sinful deeds. Put off the old man of this sinful flesh and put on the new man of the holy divine nature, as 2 Peter 1:4 calls it. The nature that is given to us and created in us. Paul said, put off the old man and put on the new man. And we just ended the Bible study by asking the question, how do we do that? How do we do that? The answer on both accounts is by looking to Christ. Looking to Christ. How do we put off the old man? By looking to Christ, not by overcoming our sin. By looking to Christ. How do we put on the new man? By looking to Christ. Not by creating our own righteousness within ourselves and producing our own holiness, our own sanctified holy condition for ourselves. Not by that, but by looking to Christ. Look to Christ, look to Christ. What's the answer? Look to Christ. Verse 10, right here in Colossians 3, verse 10, it says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. When that old man rises up and overtakes us, and he will overtake us. When that happens, how is the new man renewed in our minds? When the old man is on top, how is the new man renewed in our minds? Verse 10, he said, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him, by looking to Christ. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to Christ. Look to the Lamb of God. Now, how do we do that? What does that mean? I could stand up here and say that all day long. But what does that mean? If we look to Him, does that mean know that He exists? No. What does that mean? If we look to Christ and we truly look to Christ and we truly see Him, what will we see? If we're really looking at Him, not looking at the thought of Him, the idea of Him, what other people say about Him, if we truly look to Christ and we truly see Him, what will we see? Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. What is it really to look to Christ? And I pray the Lord will cause me to look to Christ today. I pray the Lord will cause you to look to Christ today. I pray the Lord will cause us to see Christ today. What is it really to see Christ and look to Christ? What is it really? It's to see Him to be all and in all. How do we put off? How do we ignore? How do we turn our eyes away from and not give attention to the sinful wickedness of the flesh? It's by looking to Christ. How do I put on, how do I focus on and give attention to the holy righteousness of God? How do I do that? It's by looking to Christ. How do I truly look to Christ? It's by seeing Him to be all and in all. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to say Christ is all and in all? Let's start with Christ is all. All right, let's start with that. We're going to let the Scripture answer that for us. Let's go to a few places here. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, Peter is speaking here in verse 37 on the subject of the word concerning Jesus Christ that was published throughout all Judea. He said, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea. What was that word concerning Jesus Christ that was published throughout all Judea? Look at the end of verse 36. He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. What do we see when we truly see Christ? He is Lord of all. Romans 9 verse 5 says, He is over all. He is Lord. He is Lord. What does that mean? That means He is sovereign. He's in control. He's the owner. He's the ruler. He is risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of all. He is Lord over all. What does that mean? It means He's God. He's God. He is the fullness of God. God over all. When people see Christ, and let me just really try to clarify this. I'm not talking about the single word Jesus. Is His name Jesus? Yes. Call His name Jesus. But when they see the Christ, when they see the Christ, until that moment they see a good man, a fairly helpless man, someone who can put in a good word, when men see Christ, they see God. They see the one who sits on the throne. He is Lord. He's not the son of the Lord. He's not the son of the sovereign. He's not the son of the one who's in control and the one who is ruling everything. He is Lord. God, Father, Son, and Spirit made Him Lord. He's Lord over all. He is the creator of all. Who is the creator of everything? Jesus Christ is. Who is the sustainer of everything? Jesus Christ is. Christ is Lord of all. I don't ever get tired of saying that. I really don't. I don't ever get tired of seeing that. May our Lord keep it that way. If it stays that way, that's His doing. But thank God, He's Lord. All right? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Lord of all. First Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30. It says, "But of God the Father are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. All of it. All of it. What do God's people know? What do they know? Christ. They know Christ. What do God's people need to know? They need to know Christ. They need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do they need to know anything about dispensationalism? No. Do they need to know anything about transubstantiation or millennialism? No. No. When that thief on the cross said, and you think about this, when that thief on the cross said, "Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" He didn't say, "Because I have studied a full doctrinal discourse on isms and schisms." He didn't say, he didn't even know what that was. This is what he knew. Life eternal is knowing you. Life eternal is having you. Life eternal is being in a union with you. Being forgiven by you. Being given the grace and the mercy from God that comes only through you. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know Him." Not doctrine, Him. Not history, Him. "Oh, that I might know Him." If a sinner knows Him, a sinner knows all he needs to know. That's the truth. All he or she needs to know. Christ is all of our wisdom. Verse 30 says, Christ is all of our righteousness. The scripture says, all of our own personal righteousnesses. That means everything that we try to do to be good in God's eyes. All of our own righteousnesses are filthy rags. But we have a righteousness before God that when He looks at us, He says, "Well done." And Christ is it. He looks at us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He is all the righteousness that there is to have before God. So verse 30 says, Christ is all of our wisdom. Christ is all of our righteousness. Christ is all of our sanctification. People try to progress in sanctification. That cannot be done. Outside of Christ, there is no holiness here. Outside of Christ, there's no holiness. In Christ, as holy as He is, that's how holy we are before God. He's our holiness. So in order to progress in sanctification, we would have to progress to a level higher than Christ. Not only is that impossible, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. The idea of progressive sanctification is blasphemy. Christ is our holiness before God. All the holiness that we have, Christ is all. Christ is all of it. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. And Christ is our redemption. Christ paid the price. He bought us. He redeemed us from our sin in full. We don't add anything to it. We don't help Him save us in any way, shape, or form. Christ is our salvation. Christ is all of it. All of it. His blood paid all of it. Verse 31 right here says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. He gets all of it. He gets all the glory. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to God's glory and when it comes to our glory, Christ is all. He's all of it. Look with me right here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ is our message. All of it. He's all of it. Years ago, a person who knew something of what we believed asked a person who attended here, what do they preach? What are their messages like? Is when you go and listen week after week, is it all just about election? Do they just preach about election all the time, just over and over again? It's just all election? And the person who attended here said, no, really, it's just all about Christ. And I thought, good answer. Good answer. Do we preach on election? Sure we do. It's in Christ. Do we preach on particular redemption? Most definitely, it's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about irresistible grace? Christ is the irresistible grace. Well, will God's saints persevere all the way to the end? In Christ, you better believe it. Absolutely. When it comes to our message, Christ is all. Galatians 2:20 says, Christ is our life. All of it. Paul said, I live, yet not I. It's Christ living in me. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, Christ is our faith. All of it. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, Christ is every spiritual blessing that comes to us from the Father. All of them are in Him. He is all of God's grace. He is all of God's mercy. He is all of our peace. He's all of our joy. He's all of our comfort. Christ is all. Christ is all. Now, because Christ is all, Christ is in all. Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Everything that happens is by the hand of His doing. Everything is according to the hand of His will. He is in all. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Watch the word he. Watch how many times it says he. Romans 8, verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He is in all of his people. He is in all that happens to his people. He did it. 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 We have things that happen to us and situations that come to us, and a lot of times we don't understand them. And our natural response is, I need to pray to him and tell him about this so he can know what's going on, so he can help me out of it. He's the one who put me in it. He's the one who put me in it. He is in all. He is in all things. And how glad are we to know that for God's people? Verse 28, Romans 8, verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He is all. Thank God he's in all. He is in every event, every circumstance, every pain, every pleasure. What is it to see Christ? What is it to see Christ? It's to see him in every sickness, every healing. He's the doer of it. Christ is with his people in all of it. All of it. Now, I thought long and hard about not reading The Huckster to you today. I've read this to you so many times. I pondered this for quite a while. I really did consider not reading this to you today. And I cannot bring myself to do it. Maybe next time we're in Colossians 3, verse 11, I'll not read this to you. But today is not that day. Nobody declared Christ is all, like Happy Jack. Nobody as clearly, nobody as simply as this poor huckster Happy Jack did. All right, so here it goes. Charles Spurgeon told this story. He said, this huckster, Jack, was a poor, wicked fellow who had gone about from village to village, swearing, drinking, huckstering, and perhaps pilfering. Some thought him half-witted, but the story would show his wind to be sound enough. He heard a poor woman sing somewhere, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. He remembered the words, and what was better, he felt their sense. He felt their sense. I'm a poor sinner. Can we enter into that? That moment where we go from men and women are sinners. This world is full of sinners. Oh, just sinners against God. Everybody's sinners. To that moment where we go, oh, I'm a poor sinner. Nothing at all. Thank God Jesus Christ is my all and in all. He kept on humming these words to himself till God's good spirit engraved them on his heart. So he essayed to join himself unto the church, but the brethren looked suspiciously at him and inquired, what is your experience? He said he had no experience but this, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. The good elders very properly asked, are you converted? Have you been born again? And Jack replied, I do not know much about these things, but I do know and am sure of I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. They put him back for a while to try if he would grow in his knowledge. But he never went an inch beyond the first standard. He knew what he did know, and to that he held fast. I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. Well, they must take him into the church. They could not well refuse a man with such a confession of faith. And when he was in the church, walking with the brethren, he was happier than the rest of them. At which they greatly marveled, and one said to him, Brother Jack, don't you sometimes feel doubts and fears? Doubts, he said? What do you mean? I never doubt that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, for I have daily proofs of it. And why should I doubt that Jesus Christ is my all in all? For he says he is, and I must believe him. Ah, well, said one, sometimes I enjoy good frames and feelings and feel very happy, and then I lose them and sink in spirit. Jack answered, I never get lower than I am, for I'm down at the bottom, a poor sinner, and nothing at all. I cannot get lower than that, can I? But I'm also at the top, for Jesus Christ is my all and in all. I cannot get higher than that, can I? They tried him many ways with their blessed experience, of which you and I have got cartloads, perhaps wagon loads. But he could not be drawn out from his one firm position. They tried him with their various attainments, depressions, anxieties, quibbles, and questions. But still the huckster would not budge. He had bought the truth and would not sell it. And so he stuck to, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all. May God teach that to us. May God teach that to us. There's a holy God that I can't please, but Christ did. There's a holy law that I can't keep, but Christ did. There's a perfect righteousness that I can't earn, but Christ did. There's a convicting record of sin that I cannot erase, but Christ did. There's a great judgment that I cannot endure, but Christ did. There's an eternal death that I cannot rise from, but Christ did. And if he's made me to be all in all with him, he will raise me up with him at the last day. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God teach us to truly believe on him, hope in him, rest in him, trust in him. Look to Christ. All right.